Good afternoon, everybody. We've been very busy at the Department of Health all this past year, getting testing ramped up in laboratories across the state, and now we've turned our attention to vaccines, and we just vaccinated the 100,000th Hoosier this past week. Well, Bo Eason was a young man, 9 years old, actually. And he had a dream. He had a dream that he wanted to be a professional football player. Now, many boys have dreams. They want to be a fireman or an astronaut or something like that. But that was his dream, and he was very specific. He even had the position picked out that he wanted to play. He wanted to be a safety. Now, most boys, they grow up and they give up their childhood dreams, and they get more mature adult dreams of pursuing some kind of career. But that wasn't how it was for him. He held on to that dream of being a football player. And not only that, but he really dedicated himself to it. He practiced as a boy hours a day toward that dream. And people kind of snickered because he was pretty small for his age, so everybody knew he didn't really have a chance of actually doing that, but eventually he would just grow out of that dream. He did have one thing going for him, and that is his dad believed in him and encouraged him to keep going and doing the things. In fact, that the family believed in him so much that they had a guest come over, and when the guest heard that that was his dream and everybody was behind it, the guest said, "Well, you know, you really shouldn't talk about that all the time. You're just going to set him up and get his hopes up, and then they're going to be dashed when he actually finds that he's too small and he can't play." And they actually asked the guest to leave their house. That was how far behind his dream they all were. Now, normally if you want to become a professional football player, you do that by going to college, getting a scholarship, playing on those teams, and then getting drafted by the NFL. But the problem for him was he got a list of all the schools that had teams and had scholarships, and he applied to them all, and he got turned down by every one of them. But by this point, that was all he wanted to do. That's what he was practicing for almost 10 years, and he just didn't give up. And so he just drove to the closest college with a football team, and he lived out of his car because he couldn't afford a place, and he wasn't in the dorm because he wasn't enrolled in the school. And he just hung out around the football stadium, and he did that for days and weeks. And eventually the coach said, "Well, hey, why don't you go and do this and practice with the team?" And he ended up getting on the team, and the coach got him enrolled in the college, and he was actually then a college player. Despite, you know, he was too small for this and too small for that, but he managed to get himself onto the team. And he did well on that team, and he actually realized his dream, and he got drafted by the Houston Oilers, and he became what he always wanted to do, which was to be a professional football player. So the odds of that, it's not quite one in a million, right? But the odds of just some boy saying, "I want to be a professional football player," and then having it happen is pretty low. But what if you also knew that not only did he make it, but his little brother got so excited about it that he wanted to do the same thing, and he achieved it too? Now, you might think, well, wow, that family, that just has the perfect DNA. But he didn't. If anything, the DNA kind of worked against him because he wasn't built to be a football player, and he barely even got into the college team. But, well, you know, what are the odds of that? But what if you add to it that three people who played with him in high school on his team, and this is a high school where it wasn't like a feeder school where they had a really good coach who was good at getting people scholarships. It was a high school where nobody had ever gone on to the NFL from that high school. But from his team, three other people went on and became professional players. And then he went to college, So, you know, just think about the odds of that, right? The odds of one and then a brother and then three other people who were on his high school team. But then two college roommates also went on to be professional players, right? So that's not DNA. You know, what is it? How could he do it? And then so many in his tight circle of acquaintances do it also. You know, was it something in the water? What was it? So that's what I want to talk about. And it turns out that we know the answer to those questions because he wrote a book and he explained how he did it and how so many others emulated him. One of the most important things that he says is dedication. Dedication. He says you need to make a declaration and have that be what sets the tone for your life. So when he was 9, he took out his crayons and he drew a picture of himself as an NFL player. And when he got to high school, he put it in his locker, that same crayon drawing, and it stuck with him. And that was what his life was centered on. That was what he was motivated by. And he said, you have to do the opposite of what most people do because you don't get extraordinary results by going the same direction that everybody goes. In fact, he says, feel the pulse of the culture and then go the other way. Go the other way. And that has a lot of analogies for us as Christians, right? Because we have a goal that we're dedicated to and we're swimming upstream. We're not always in sync with the culture around us. And so often we're also going the other way. Along with the declaration, part of dedication is looking at distractions. So he says you need to eliminate distractions. Success is about elimination. He actually suggests that you think about your goal and think of all the distractions that could keep you from your goal and write them down. And then think about each one and brainstorm how can you eliminate that distractions. Because if you don't control your distractions, they will control you. And we know as Christians, there is somebody who wants to throw us off track, who wants to keep us from achieving our goal of entering the kingdom of God, and he will do that through distractions. And I hear that we're going to learn more about him in the sermon. Famously, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, the creator of Apple Computer and the Windows operating system, they limited their kids' screen time and limited their access to cell phones because they knew the potential of their kids and they didn't want anything to ruin that potential. They didn't want anything that would throw them off and consume all their time. And so the fathers of the modern computer era limited computers from their kids for that reasons. So we need to control our environment or it will control us. So Boeson says, everything that doesn't line up with your declaration, with your goal, has to be eliminated. And he told stories about how he lost friends because they didn't fit in with that, or they were keeping him from doing that. And he just focused single-mindedly on that goal. We know from, say, people who were addicted to drugs, it's not just a matter of becoming physically not dependent anymore. Oftentimes those people have to change their circle of friends. They have to change their environment because otherwise they'll be drawn back into this. Because you will tend to have the values that those around you have and you'll tend to do the things those around you do. So you need to decide, is this environment and are these people in alignment with what I'm trying to do? This is the book that he wrote. The title is There's No Plan B for Your A Game. But what I found more interesting is the subtitle, which is Be the Best in the World at What You Do. Now, we as Christians are not trying to be the best and like be more righteous than other people or compete or anything like that. But we are trying for our personal bests. We're trying to be the best husbands that we can be and the best wives, the best servants of God that we can be, the best stewards of the talent that God has given us. It reminds me of Ecclesiastes 9:10 that says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Mr. McLean was talking about that crown last week, and there were many aspects of the crown, but one was the crown given in victory, right? The Stephanos, given for victory or distinguished servants, and we're running for that. We're trying to achieve our personal best. So that's dedication, and dedication can explain how Boeason did it, but it didn't really answer the question that I asked at the beginning, which is how did so many other people in that small circle also achieve the same thing? And there's another aspect too, and he doesn't actually use the word in the book, and I was trying to find something to describe it, to describe how he can be so excited and have other people around him be excited and encouraging each other. And I couldn't think of the word, and I finally settled on this one, which is tribe. Right? He created a tribe around him. People who saw his excitement and caught his excitement and then started going in the same direction. And when one of them would get discouraged, they would feed on the energy of that tribe and they would keep going in the direction that they knew that they wanted to go. So he was the one who was so excited and determined that he attracted other people. And he said it this way. He said, your dream attracts your team, right? If you have a dream and you have a goal, you're going to tend to attract others who have that goal, or you will be attracted to others who have that goal. And then you are part of a tribe of people who are going in the same direction. So it's good to have somebody like him around, right, to encourage us. And it's also good to be somebody like him. And that's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing here. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we've quoted this scripture to say, hey, you should go to church, which, of course, is correct. But it's not just about hearing a message, right? So much of it is about getting together and encouraging each other. And if we go back one verse, you can see even more that context where it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. The New Living Translation says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And so that's what we do here. We're part of a tribe that does that. We're going in the same direction toward the kingdom. In Bo's case, it wasn't just the other players in high school and in college who were part of that tribe, because his parents were there too. They were not football players, but they believed in his vision and they became part of it. In particularly, his father believed in him. Because I would submit to you that no matter how extraordinary he was as a 9-year-old, he would not have had the perseverance to continue all those years just on his own with no encouragement and support from his parents, right? But they did believe in him, particularly his father believed in him. But guess what? Our father believes in us. Our father believes in us and knows that we can do it and will do what he can to encourage us to keep going that route also. Bo says, the only way out of your dreams is if you quit. We just need to keep going. We have everything that we need to succeed. We have a goal. We're dedicated. We have a father who believes in us. And we have an encouraging tribe that surrounds us. So let's go on together to victory.